so thankful
that I don't have to master everything I preach, otherwise I could never preach on anything. For instance, if I have to master holiness before I preach on it, I could never preach it because I have not mastered living holy. I'm learning to live holy. And this is going to be a sermon that I have not mastered. It is something that I am told in the Word of God I am to work on and to grow in, and none of us have arrived in this area. This passage deals with a subject I don't hear taught on a whole lot nowadays because it's not light and fluffy, and it's not too general, it's very specific. I'm going to give you what our prayer and our goal is supposed to be as a Christian. Just listen carefully while I read these verses. Psalm 35:28, "My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." Psalm 51:15, "O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." Psalm 71:8, "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." Psalm 71:15, "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day." While I live, Psalm 146 verse 2, "While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." What a verse. Yet at the same time, I have not mastered that. I can truly say I have not spoken of the salvation and the righteousness of the Lord all day long. There have been times when I spoke of things I should not have spoken about. I'm learning to speak forth His righteousness. I'm learning to grow as a Christian. There has to be some things, and I think if that can get turned off or something, Brother Charlie, because I think it's cool enough in here. There has to be some things that I keep in check in my Christian life or I can't grow. I cannot grow as a Christian if there are things get out of whack. One of the hardest things, and the thing that God says, if you're there in James, if you'll look at that verse, it says here, verse number 8, "The tongue can no man tame." God said no one has their tongue totally under control. It's impossible. And until you die and go to glory, if you're saved, you will struggle with your tongue. I will struggle in fighting the words that come out of my mouth, making sure that they're what God wants me to say and not what my flesh wants to say. I have to be careful of my tongue. No one can tame the tongue. This passage draws attention if you'll look at verse number 6. Watch this. "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity." Look at the last part of it, "and it is set on fire of hell." Those are about as strong. You don't find God speaking that about our hands, about our feet, about any other part of our body except our tongue. Our tongue is set on fire of hell. That means if I don't get it in check, if I don't keep it under control, I'm going to hurt somebody with my tongue. And watch this. I've been cut. I've been cut with knives and things like that, but those wounds heal in about 2 weeks, minus the stitches and all that. I've been deeply cut by people's tongues where I would have rather been cut with a knife. I've been cut much worse and hurt much worse with people's tongues. And I think everybody in here could say that. Now James chapter 3 takes on this light. This is something that God says everybody needs to keep under control, needs to watch and be careful about. This morning, I want to... Well, let me just draw your attention one more thing to this passage, because this will be the last time we look at this passage. Okay, do you see the first part about that? Look at verse number 2. Look at the illustration God gives us here in James 3. "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not... Inward, if there is such a person that has never messed up with their mouth, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body." Now, I'm going to come back to that, but look at verse 3. "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. I like horses, but I learned horses are 90% work and 10% play. Okay? And I think they're great, but it is absolutely amazing that 1,200 pounds of beast can be controlled with a little bit that's in their mouth, and they're so stupid you have to steer them with pain. Okay, for horse lovers, God bless you, but you know they're dumb. Okay? When we trained horses, let it go 2 weeks without training the horse, and they forget everything you showed them. I'm talking all that stuff. It's absolutely amazing that 1,200 pounds of animal is controlled by a bit that pinches their tongue. And of course, seeing the different bits, just a little bitty thing steers the whole horse. Well, look at the next illustration God gives. In verse 4, it says, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor or the head of the ship listeth or wants." So watch this. A huge ship has a helm, okay, and then the rudder, and it's amazing that that little piece of equipment can steer that whole ship. Here's the illustration. God says your mouth, your tongue, determines how much of the rest of your body you control. And people who have a hard time controlling their mouth have other control issues. Do you understand? If you can't control this, then you cannot control this. If you have a hard time getting up in the morning when your alarm clock goes off, that's a character issue. That's a character issue. This, work on your tongue and you can control your body a lot more. If you have a temper issue, which a lot of men do, and that's fine. I don't know too many men with tired blood. Amen. Okay. All right, it's going to happen. However, you want to get a control of the temper? Get control of your tongue first. That little member steers the whole ship. And people who are out of control with their mouth and they don't control their tongue, God says don't control the rest of their body either. They literally do whatever they want. The fastest path to character and discipline and self-learning and getting a hold of yourself and getting your life under control is to start with what? The tongue. Watch your mouth. Be careful as a Christian, and then watch other things start to fall into place. If you struggle with a schedule, you say, "I just cannot discipline myself to do any." Are you controlling your tongue? Then go ahead and start with your tongue. I'm pulling this from James chapter 3 now. You get a hold of your tongue. You get a hold of this thing that is set on fire of hell. You get a hold of that and you start controlling what comes out of your mouth, and you will be amazed at how the rest of your life starts disciplining. Because this steers the whole body. That's what it says. That's what it says. It's a path of character. I'm not preaching exactly on that this morning. Now I want to take, with that in mind, I want to take and look at one word in the Bible. One word that deals a lot with the tongue. It's the word scorner. It's one who scorns, derides, mocks, or contempts. It's also someone who's indignant or passionate about their contempt or what they're upset about, and it comes out in their words. The closest word we use instead of we don't normally say you're a scorner. We don't normally talk that way, but that's the Bible word that God uses. The word we normally use is a critic or a fault finder. Now, don't confuse me this morning with standing against wrong. I'm not talking about if I mention our government is making bad laws. It's to warn you that the coming of what's coming in the future, so we're not caught off guard. You say, "Well, you're not supposed to criticize and speak against anything that the government's doing." That's not what our forefathers said. When George III got out of control, they said, "That's tyranny, and we're breaking away from that." That's what our forefathers, that wasn't rebellion. Does everybody understand that? The government has to be held in check by the people, or guess what? The elites end up stepping on the people. Anytime someone starts to violate the Constitution, someone needs to stand up and say, "That is not a bendable document. You are out of line. Get that man out of office. That is a wicked individual that's trying to do that." That Constitution isn't supposed to be played with, rewritten, or nothing. It's supposed to be interpreted and left alone. Our Bill of Rights, they're not supposed to be touched. Any official that touches them is supposed to be spoken against. or the people will suffer the tyranny. Is that you understand? So don't get me wrong this morning. You say, well, don't take it so far to where you think this way. Well, I talk positive about everybody. You've taken too much Prozac. You understand? That's too much. Okay, back off on it or something. No, okay, does that mean you talk positive about the devil? You're supposed to be able to recognize the devil and his wicked works. That's wrong, that's wicked, that's out of place. That's not being critical. That's using your Bible to name truth. So don't take this so far to where, I don't ever speak anything negative. Okay. Yeah. That's spooky. The power of positive thinking. And all that Robert Schuller, what? Garbage. Okay? That's garbage. So don't mistake me this morning. If I expose a false teacher in religion, like Joel Osteen, I know he's the pastor of the largest church in the world, but he plainly said, I will build this church off of never saying anything negative. That's exactly what he said. When they asked him, what's the difference between a Christian and a Muslim? He said on Fox News, oh, I don't know that there is any difference between Christianity and Islam. That lost Fox News reporter just stood there. What? He was a lost man and he knew there was a difference between Christianity and Islam. But that's Joel. If I mention to you Joel Osteen, he's a false teacher, don't listen to him. If I mention to you John MacArthur is a false teacher of Lordship Salvation and other false doctrines, or Joyce Myers, or any of that, I'm exposing wrong. The Apostle Paul did that. A true prophet will expose false teachers. It's not this self-deluded optimism that says, oh, I never speak anything. How do you can't be a Christian and live that way. Because everything's not positive. There has to be some things you stand against and you say, I'm not going to do that. Because it's wrong. There's nothing wrong with living that way. God tells us to live that way. Divide it. But this morning, let's go back to the topic, scorning. I find our society is taught criticism and fault-finding from the media. There are very few editorials and journalists that report anymore in the newspaper. Do you know why? Because criticism sells. If you just report the facts, and they'll tell you this, go to any newspaper. If you just report the facts, your paper won't sell. You need to give a biased opinion, that's criticism, one way or the other, if you want the paper to sell. So guess what? The leading papers use criticism to sell their papers. Wow, they're smart. Careful. If you're not careful as a Christian, you get caught up in that mindset of what can I find wrong next? And most criticize. Criticism is fault finding when you can't solve the problem. Most don't want to solve the problem because they're happy to be the critic. They walk into a room and then they let everybody know about the dirt that they find, but they'd never offer to help come and clean it. Now, I don't think we have a dirty church. Our ladies do a great job. But that's a critic. They'll walk in and go, oh, it's dirty over there. But would they ever say, hey, do you need help cleaning? I can come down and help. That's not their business. Their business is just, found dirt over there, found dirt over there, found dirt over there. You understand? That's a critic. Gossip. What is gossip? Gossip is speaking of a problem you can't solve or don't have the authority to solve. That's gossip. Gossip is talking about problems that are not in your area of responsibility. Asking, look, I love questions. And as a pastor, I love answering people. Asking a question isn't being critical. As long as you don't put an exclamation mark at the end of it. You know what I mean? You ever seen those type questions? We're not going to do this, pastor, are we? They changed the question mark to an exclamation mark, and that's manipulative. And yeah, that irritates me. But if you come in the right spirit, amen, there's nothing wrong with asking a question. As a matter of fact, you read your Bible and you find Christians that ask questions grow. Amen? Because they're seeking why with answers from the Bible. There's nothing, don't get me wrong this morning and don't take it so far the other way. Well, I don't ask any questions because I don't want to be critical. That's not being critical. That's wise. to ask questions. And I'm not trying to remove your ability to answer questions. I do want to draw your attention this morning to one word, scorner. Scorner. And it's many times, take your Bible and go to Proverbs 1:22, and let's just look at why would somebody be a critic or a scorner. Go to right in the middle of your Bible to Psalms, and then go over to the right to Proverbs chapter 1. And watch this word. Watch this word. We're going to probably look at about six or seven places this morning. And then I want you to take this home and you be able to look for it. Because I do want you thinking one thing when you leave church this morning. I need to be careful about my tongue. And there's one word in the Bible that describes a critic, a scorner. Ready? Watch this. Proverbs 1:22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning? And fools hate knowledge. You know why people, number one, do you know why people criticize? Number one, because they enjoy it. How long will you delight in your criticism? How long will the scorners love or delight in their scorning or their criticism? Someone says, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. We all make mistakes, but God says, yes, you did. In Luke, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You see, criticism isn't a tongue problem as much as whatever's in the heart always comes out. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. Yes, you did. It was in your heart. It's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. Critics, why do people scorn? Well, they delight in it. They enjoy it. They've been trained. They've trained themselves to think, this is my lifestyle. The problem is, it was in their heart first. How come they scorn? Because they're proud. I'm going to read this verse to you. They are proud. Go ahead and go to Proverbs 21. You're in Proverbs 1:22. So we find out they enjoy criticizing. They enjoy fault finding. Next, Proverbs 21:24, watch this. Proud, Proverbs 21:24. And most of this morning is coming from the book of Proverbs. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. Look, anytime proud and haughty scorner is his name, he's dealing in proud wrath. Anytime you can deal with somebody that likes cutting somebody else down to build themselves up, it's because they think they're better than they are. Proud and haughty scorner. Why do critics criticize? One, because they like it. Two, they're proud. I actually have a right to cut this person down or step on them to make me get higher. And God says that's pride. That's pride. Be very careful. What I'd like you to be able to do this morning is, number one, I fight criticism in my life. I can get in the flesh. And I told you before, nobody has their tongue totally under control. Some are better at it than others. But nobody has totally controlled this beast. Okay? Number two, if you hang around somebody that is a scorner, I'd like you to be able to recognize them as a critic and say, I need to help that person, but not hang around them. I don't want to learn their habits or their character. Do you understand? I don't want them in my life. I'll help them if they need help, but I don't spend large amounts of time with that stuff, or I'll become like them. Proverbs 21:24, proud and haughty scorner is his name. They cannot control their temper. You'll see at the end of that verse there. They dealeth in proud wrath. They don't control their tongue, so therefore they don't control themselves. And anytime they get upset or frustrated or inconvenienced, they think it's okay to shoot their mouth off. They'll lose control of their tongue. Well, I know it's a cuss word, but I was angry. So Christian? You will not go far in the Christian life and you cannot grow that way. I justify me doing wrong because I'm having it hard. And because I'm having it so hard, I can sin and do anything I want. Careful, you can't grow that way. You can't justify sin because of how you're hurt or you're inconvenienced. Here, he's dealing in proud wrath. Well, I'm angry and I'm having a hard time, so whatever comes out of my mouth is right. Careful, Christian, you don't grow that way. I'm telling you this morning as a warning, Watch this. Now let's go. There are several consequences of being a critic. I said, number one, why do people scorn? Well, number one, they enjoy it, they're proud, and they can't control their temper. Number two, there are several consequences of being a scorner, and I am watching the clock. Ready? Go to Psalm 1:1. Go to Psalm 1:1. The consequences of being a scorner or a critic. The consequences are Psalm 1, verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. Neat verse to think and meditate on, but watch this. The first consequence I find in the Bible of being a scorner or a critic is you can expect a lack of God's blessing in your life. Watch this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Watch what happens here in this verse. God says, if you will, first of all, not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, someone who has no use for God. It doesn't say counsel of the wicked, it says counsel of the ungodly. That's someone who doesn't want anything to do with God. That doesn't mean they're neither for God or against God, they are just ungodly. They don't want God in their life. Don't let them give you advice. Don't walk in their counsel. Well, I think you ought to do this, and I think you ought to do this. Is that a godly person? Because see, once you start taking ungodly advice, then you take the next step. Then you quit walking, and you what? Stand. Then you stand, all right, here, and it says what? Standing, standeth not, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, you took ungodly counsel, you were walking, now you're standing in the way of sinners, and sin, you're getting numb to it, is what's happening, child of God. You're getting numb to it. Then what's the final step? You sit down. And you start scorning. You start criticizing. Yeah, I don't like that, don't like that, don't like that. And they're not doing anywhere. They're not going anywhere in the Christian life. Blessed is man. You lose God's blessing if you will not walk in the counsel ungodly. Quit standing in the way of sinners, because the end is sitting there being a critic doing nothing. And you don't get God's blessing that way. Consequences of being a critic is they forfeit God's blessing. How about this? What's another consequence? Go to Proverbs. You're in Psalm. Just turn over one book. Go to Proverbs 19:29. Judgments. What a scary verse. There's one more scarier, and I'll show it to you. But watch this. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. A scorner, what's another consequence? Someone who's a critic and a fault finder can expect, God prepares. Look, you know what I find God prepares in the Bible? God prepared a fish for Jonah and prepared a storm for Jonah. God made those. These are judgment God makes specifically for a critic. A critic can expect God's judgment on their life. I don't want that. I don't want, that's why, hey, here we go. That's why these verses help hold me in check. And preachers can be pretty gossipy, just so you know. They can get around. I don't like talking about people. Do you understand? Because watch this. I think, you know what, I was told something when I got saved. Be careful about spending longer than 10 minutes on the phone. Because watch what happens after you talk about the business. And after you've been on the phone longer than 10 minutes, then watch how you start talking about, you know, I just don't like so-and-so. You know, don't they just get under your skin too? Don't they just, I just can't. And watch how the conversation goes downhill. Brother Hiles used to say that. Be careful about spending too much time, because when you start talking about people, just notice how fast it goes downhill. I don't want to be a critic, because God says judgments are prepared for scorners or critics. How about this? Ready? You're in Proverbs. You're 19. Go back 5 chapters to Proverbs 14. Go to Proverbs 14, verse 6. Proverbs 14, verse 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. So a scorner, Proverbs 14, 6, a scorner seeks wisdom and finds it not. They read their Bible, but they never get any more spiritual because they don't control their tongue. They come to church and they hear preaching, but they can never apply it to their life Because they're critical. Their tongue, they're a scorner. They can talk spiritually, but they can't grow spiritually. Do you understand? They're looking for wisdom, but they never find it. Ever trying to learn, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know why? Because of what they let come out of their mouth. They're critical. I don't want that. I want God to teach me and open His Word when I read the Bible. I need that. I need God to speak to my heart. I don't want to shut the valve off. Okay? Watch this. I also find consequences of being a scorner is this. Go to Proverbs. You're in 14. Go to Proverbs 24. Look at Proverbs 24, verse 9. One word this morning. One word. Proverbs 24, verse 9. The thought, look at this. Proverbs 24, 9. The thought of foolishness is sin. And the scorner is an abomination to men. Well, they're negative. They're negative. They're an abomination. Nobody likes being around a critic. You always find this. Critical people draw critical people. As I ran camps for teenagers, I always find this. Day one is when everything, it's a watershed day. The spiritual kids, they find each other. The critical kids, they find each other. The kids are only there to date. They find each other. Okay. And you find that. That's normally what happens at a camp day one, as I've done teen camps. We also find that in churches. Anytime people get together, you'll find that at the mall. You'll find that in any gathering of people. The critics always find each other. Because they put up. But nobody likes a critic. Do you know why? Because if you talk bad to me about somebody else, then my question is, do you talk bad about me when I'm not with you? Because what goes around comes around, and you reap what you sow. And if they're critical about, what do they do when I'm not here? Because if they criticize everybody else, what keeps them from criticizing me? And that's why a scorner is an abomination to men, because all those thoughts start running through. They're normally negative. Now watch this. All of us are prone with our sin nature to be negative, right? Because we're sinners. I'm just showing you this morning, I need to keep it in check. That's my tendency. So I fight it. If I do what comes naturally, I'm a jerk, I'm selfish, and I'm critical. If I work at being spiritual, I have to force myself to die and to yield to the Holy Spirit. But I don't just, I just speak my peace, and whatever comes out of my mouth is, you just take me as it comes. Well, where do you grow then as a child of God? Where do you grow as a Christian? We all have to fight this. Watch this. Proverbs 24:9. Nobody likes to be around a scorner. They're negative. They're hard to get along with. I'm just going to read you these verses. Just listen. Proverbs 22:10. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Look, I would hate to say, I would hate for somebody to say, we sure had a good day at church. Pastor was sick. He wasn't here. Man, it was just good being in church. I tell you what. Wouldn't that be awful? Man, so-and-so wasn't here. Man, it was such a blessing. I couldn't figure out how come we were so happy in church. That's because Screwy Louie wasn't here. He tears down everything. He's always negative. I won't want somebody saying that about me. Now, I don't have to be the life of the party either, okay? But at the same time, I don't want to be what killed the spirit of everyone either. How come people don't like critics? Because they're negative, they're hard to get along with. Look, if I had a glass in here this morning, and I meant to, but we got had such a good breakfast there, but how come when the glass is half full, it's always half empty to them? How come? Well, because it's half empty. Well, I know, but it's half full too. There's something positive. You can see the positive. I held up a sheet of paper with you. A pastor did this to me as a test. He held up a piece of paper and it had a black circle right here. He said, "What do you see?" I said, "Black circle." He said, "You don't see all the white? Isn't there a lot more of the white?" I said, "Well, yeah." He said, "See, you're a negative person." No, he used it. He used it in a sermon illustration, and I didn't do that. That's a setup. You know what I mean? I went, man, that's not fair.
He asked me what I see, what I saw, not what I didn't see. But anyways, what I'm trying to tell you is this. They're negative and they're hard to get along with because they always see the negative. They're never trying to see the positive. They're never trying, they don't work at it. And then finally, have you ever noticed about a scorner? They won't listen to anyone else. I would like you to turn to Proverbs 13:1. Watch this. Proverbs 13:1. Look, before I read this, you go to Proverbs 13:1. I don't have to give my opinion about everything. Learning to keep my opinion to myself is an art. Do you understand? If I go home and my wife has put the couch in front of the front door, okay, and I have to step on it and get over it, she can arrange the house any way she wants. She's there more than I am. Amen? I'd say, this is a stupid way to set up the house. What in the world are you doing, woman? Woman! I don't do that, but... Move the couch! I don't do that. However, I don't shoot my opinion off a whole lot unless I'm asked to lead that situation. Then it's my responsibility. Then my opinion counts. So I'm real careful about what... Have you ever noticed how somebody can walk into a room and everybody's kind of happy and then one person says, I don't like that. Yeah, and then that is exactly what... It's like the lights dim and the power goes out over one statement. I don't like that. You know what I mean? I am sure someone could criticize this table. Okay? Better than I can make. Amen? Don't ask me to make one of those. I'm just saying, I want to be real careful about keeping my opinions to myself. I want to work at that. They're hard to get along with, and they don't listen. Here we go, Proverbs 13:1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Heareth not. They won't listen to correction. Anybody who corrects them is attacking them. What are you talking to me about that for? It's always an attack. But God says here, a scorner or a critic won't listen to a rebuke or a correction. Take your Bible and go to Proverbs chapter 9. Consequences of being a critic. Proverbs chapter 9. You're in chapter 13. Go to chapter 9. I think verse 7 and 8 here are very, very helpful verses. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7. Watch this. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. You need to be very careful about correcting critics. Here, God says you'll end up being criticized yourself. They normally will take what you use. In other words, just be real careful. You shouldn't be criticizing. You're a critic. God calls you a scorner. Our pastor taught us about that. Okay. God says here in the Bible, if you correct a critic, they're going to use your words against you and you're going to get a blot. The best thing you do with a critic is you leave them alone. Well, somebody just needs to preach the fire out of them. This sermon isn't for the critics this morning. A critic won't listen to this. A critic will sit here this morning and say, that's right, get them, preacher. And remember, they can't find wisdom. Remember, that's what the Bible says. This sermon this morning is not trying to correct critics. It's trying to, number one, keep me from turning into a critic, and it's trying to help me recognize critics. Because God says, don't correct them. Just separate from them. Don't spend time with them. Well, they just need somebody to sit down and give them a 15-point Bible study. God says it won't work. It won't work. The best thing you do with a critic is you separate from them. Okay? Just a couple more points and then we're done. Then we're done. Watch this. Now I'm going to show you the scariest verse in my Bible study. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 33. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 33. Ready? The curse of the Lord
is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he, the Lord, scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. Do you know what that verse is saying? That verse is saying, if you choose the lifestyle and the character of a critic, then God says he becomes a scorner to the scorners, or he criticizes the critic. How would you like the Lord, who knows everything about you, to criticize you to others? He knows me like no one else. Amen? I don't think I want that lifestyle. Then I need to keep my tongue in check. I don't want God becoming my critic. I don't want God criticizing me. I need His forgiveness. And like we started the service this morning, His mercy, amen, endureth forever. Because I don't deserve it. I know that much. I don't have what I deserve this morning. Be careful, child of God. A scorner is a critic. They're a fault finder. And God says, don't reprove them. Just learn to recognize them, because they are everywhere. Every job has them. In my platoon, every platoon had them in the Marine Corps. Every place has them. Yet there's no such place that they don't exist. It's just there's some who are working at not becoming that way. And the way you do that is you stay away from them. You stay away from them. But you as a child of God have to have the wisdom and the Word of God behind you to make those decisions. We're going to end with this. Watch this. Can we all go to... I looked up the cure, okay? The cure. And let me just give you a neat prayer. You're in Proverbs. Go to Psalms. Go to Psalms 19, verse 14. Psalm 19, verse 14. Psalm 19 and verse 14. Watch this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's a good verse to memorize. It's a good verse to help you every day. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, the things I think about, be acceptable in your sight. Lord, please control my mouth. If I read Psalm 141, set a watch, O Lord, set a guard on my mouth and help me. Please watch over what I talk about. Dear Lord, please don't let me be. It's something worth praying about. Talk clean and then pray about it. That's what God says. How do you not become a scorner? Well, you learn to scripturally recognize it and then you pray about it. I heard one lady in church when we were in Tennessee, and she said, I have been negative for so long, I want to be a pleasant Christian to be around. And she said it with tears in her eyes. It was a young married couple. She said, I have learned horrible things from the TV. She said, I want to be a building Christian. I want to be someone who builds up people, not tears them down. That was a big help. That was a big help. Pray that. Memorize Psalm 19:14. Can we look at one more, and then we'll have the invitation. Would you take your Bible, now go to the New Testament, ready? And look at verse Colossians 4:6. Colossians. It's after Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Ready? Colossians 4, 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. God, give me grace. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up. Those are good verses. Look, this boy had a lot to learn about when I got saved. I had bad habits. I had to learn how to clean up the filth of my mouth. And I'm not just talking about cussing. I'm talking about the things that I would freely talk about. It took me a long time. I don't even think cuss words anymore, but I remember when God gave me that and helped me with it. And I asked the Lord, Lord, I'd like to get where I don't even think cuss words anymore. And it took a while, but it took memorizing scripture like what I just showed you.
And God help me with it. Amen? It's something all of us need to pray about. Let me end the thing with this. Scorners, critics. If I never find anything bad about you, if you have something bad in your past, think with me just for a second. If I never find anything bad about you, let's say you were in jail. Let's say, put a whole list of stuff there. You come to church, you have a salvation testimony, and you've been baptized. If I never find anything bad about you, does that hurt me? Now think about what I just asked you. Do I hurt if I don't find anything bad about you? The answer to the question is no. Do you know what a critic does? A critic, whether they're going to say, let me tell you about so-and-so, or let me tell you about this problem, if you can't solve it, then that's one more thing in your life that you've left undone. They introduce you to problems you can't finish. That's why a critic is always a frustrator. They're always they introduce you to problems you can't fix. Okay, so what are we supposed to do about this? Well, nothing. I just wanted you to know that it really gets my goat and ticks me off. Well, now I'm frustrated. Well, good. We can just go to Dairy Queen and be frustrated together. Careful. Careful. To be a happy Christian, it takes work. It takes work being spiritual. I want you to leave church this morning thinking one word. A scorner. God has a lot to say about it in the Bible. And really, a scorner is a critic. I hope this morning has helped you. I know this. It's helped me. Amen. It's a reminder. It's a reset button. And it helps me. Let's pray together. Father, we love you this morning. Please. I know the people under the sound of my voice want to grow spiritually. And so I pray that, Father, please, you would help us. You said if we could get our tongue under control, the rest of our body would follow. So I ask that, please, you would help these people, help me, please, to apply this truth to our lives.